Joyce. It's 11. I'm about to welcome a dear friend to the platform. I've known Mike since I moved to Arizona. In fact, he was one of the people that was present when I took my ordination exam way back when. He's a good friend to the church, to all of us, and one of our favorite snowbirds, the Reverend Michael Pillsbury.
Thank you, Mary Beth. And it's always a pleasure for me to be here, too. But it's always a nervous situation, so bear with me. I started something new this week. Thank you, Joyce. I started something new this week and was just asking for Spirit to come through and guide me, and they just said, they gave me a topic or something to start with, and they said, the rest of it we'll give you as you're working. So bear with me if it seems a little disjointed at times. But what they gave me was the right hand of fellowship to start with. I know most of you, when you became members of a church, one of our spiritualist churches, took the right hand of fellowship from whoever the pastor was at the time. But how much do you really remember about it? Do you remember the questions they asked you to affirm to before you became members? Have you tested to the satisfaction of your own mind the sublime truth of spirit communication and accepted it as a means for the upliftment of mankind? Have you all got messages at one time or another that have helped you that way? They've helped you learn and to continue to grow and become better than what you were? I think most of the time, all of our messages are uplifting. I've never seen a really bad one. But they're always uplifting in one way or another. Do you promise, insofar as it lies in your power, to conform to the highest conception of right, morality, and honor? And I think most of us do that normally. Sometimes we have little conflicts because our interpretations are not always the same. It doesn't mean that one is right and the other is wrong. It just means we have different ways of perceiving things because we are all brought up differently. We all had different experiences in life. So just try to bear with it and try to understand the other person's perception as we'll try to understand yours, and we'll try to move on from there. Will you aid and assist those in need by supplying their physical needs as so far as you can without injury to yourself or family, and by giving them such spiritual consolation as may be yours to impart, whenever proper opportunity offers? I think that's a very big one. You know, they talk about financial aid and helping, but sometimes they need more than financial aid. They need somebody that's there to support them. Somebody that's there to help them, somebody there to talk to them. There's so many people out here that are really hurting. They don't understand where they're going to go from their next step in life. When you're seeing veterans committing suicide every day, it makes you realize how bad it is out there for some of our people. And it's not just veterans. There's a lot of people in the schools, kids that are shooting other kids. Why? What can we do to help them? There is no one easy answer for everything, but they all need somebody there to listen to them, somebody to talk to them, and somebody to share with them. I don't think that any of us can be there for everybody that we know, but you got to try. Try and help the ones you know. And a lot of times you really can't tell how bad somebody's hurting, but if they want to talk, listen. Don't just say, yeah, I want to hear it, but sit there and actually listen to them. If it takes 2 hours for them to get it through whatever they're talking about, whatever's bothering them, spend the time. It's worth it. I know we've had a lot of arguments about so many things in this country, and there's so much hate out there for everybody right now on both sides. And it doesn't matter. We don't need that hate. We need to understand each other. I think everybody on both sides really has some point that they're trying to get across and some meaning that they want to cross. And when you talk to them, if you sit and talk to them for a while, you understand your points of view are very, very close to the same thing down deep inside. It's just they don't understand. There's so much hollering back and forth. You set your own defenses up and you don't listen to the other side. You don't understand that there is more than one point of view on everything. Okay, will you cheerfully contribute your just and rightful share, support toward the church or society, and all that you can do reasonably to promote harmony among its friends and members and to make its influence a source of good in this community? You know how much that means to people that walk in that door, that you're willing to support them, you're willing to talk to them, you're willing to make them feel welcome, make them feel part of your family. We're all kind of a family here in our own ways. I know I try to make it my point of view my point of interest when people come in to get to know them, get to talk to them. Last week we had Bill Paley talking about some personal experiences in his life from here. And I learned so much from him by listening to what he had to say. We all have so many different things happen to us in life that control how we grow up to be what we are, how we got to this point in life, how we got to this church. You know, there's people in a lot of churches that they don't understand. I talked to a minister a couple of years ago, and he was asking me about my religion, and I was telling him about it. And he asked me how I felt about Jesus Christ. I told him, I believe Jesus was the best teacher we ever had. He taught people how to love. They taught people how to have compassion for each other. And he says, well, how about his dying? No, I don't believe he died for my sins. I believe he taught us how to live so we didn't need somebody to die for our sins. It's very easy to say that somebody else died for us and we don't have to take any responsibility for ourselves. But when we talk about our principles in here, we talk very seriously about taking responsibility for our actions and for what we do. I hope that I'm not overwhelming you with any of this, but it's very important that we understand it. And it's so seldom we talk about it other than when we're doing that right hand of fellowship. And then it's a ceremony going on, and we don't really have time to talk about it. Well, there was just one more question on here I'd like to run through you too. Do you affirm your acceptance of and belief in the Declarations of Principles of the National Spiritualist Association of Churches? And do you promise to obey all the rules and regulations enjoined by the bylaws of said association and of this church? Do you? Do you believe in our principles? I know we read them every week. Usually it's so fast reading through them that a lot of people don't get a chance to understand them. But do you understand your principles? Do you listen to them? I've heard so many people talk about God, but they have different perceptions of it. Our perception is that God is an energy force that controls our life. He helps us to find where we need to go and get us moving in a direction that makes us better people. It's not some God up in heaven looking down on us, telling us, you got to do this way and you got to do that way. It's an energy force that helps us find what's best for us. And isn't that what we're all looking for in life? Something to find a way to make us better, make us become better people, and make us be an inspiration to others. Well, that's where I started. And now I got to figure out where to go from here because they're telling me what to do. I've gone through a lot of experiences in my life myself, and some of them I probably shouldn't have lived through, but I did. And then I look at them back afterwards and wonder, what was I supposed to learn here? What was that all about? I was very set in my ways and unaccepting about anything before I got shot, and my whole life was turned around overnight. I had to look for a way to survive, a way to get by. And I looked at both sides. You know, I looked at it from the side of somebody that was looking for help. And I looked at it from the side of somebody that was willing to take help. And it's very hard sometimes, if you've been supporting yourself your whole life, to be able to accept that help. But I think it's something we have to do in time. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride and be willing to accept that help. But it doesn't make it any easier when you go up to some of these places. The one I took personally offensive was going up to welfare when I was going to sign up for that. It was so bad that I walked out the door and said, I don't need this. I can find some way to get by. Because people were bragging about how they put in names of their pets as extra dependents so they could get more money. People talking about how they would lie about what was wrong with them so they could keep it going. I don't believe in any of us lying about what's going on. We got to trust that we're there to experience something. And sometimes it's not something we want to experience, but we have to get through it and we have to find a way to let that change us. I know for me, it was really tough to accept that there is no black and white in everything. Everything is shades of gray. Everything we do has shades of gray in it for us. And we have to move beyond what we want or what we expect in life and accept that it is what it is. We're all going to find experiences that change us, to become make us better. Some of them, you wonder how you're ever going to get through them, but they do make you better. It makes it a lot easier to accept other people's problems and talk to them about them, for me, because I can understand where they're coming from. Not just in that, but there's all kinds of experience. Everybody goes through some kind of depression in their life. It could be anything. Usually it's not very bad, but everybody goes through it. There's so many things in our life that control us. Everybody has experiences where they've been out of work. Everybody has experiences where they've been in love. At one time or another, I think everybody's been in love. Is it always good for you? At the time, it feels like it, but sometimes you get so deep into the emotion that you don't get to know the person, and then it falls apart later on. And I think it's very important that we get to know people deep inside, get to know who we're being friends with. Make sure that somebody will be honest with us and talk up front with us. There are so many experiences that you can't even imagine where they all are. But they all have a purpose for that person, and they all have a meaning for that person. And we have to be willing to accept it, be willing to understand. They're saying that it's not all meant for us. It's not meant for us to understand. We're meant to be there to show support, be there for that shoulder for them to cry on, be there for somebody just to talk it through. It's especially tough for the kids nowadays because they don't have people that listen to them much. They have parents, but the parents don't want to be spending attention. A lot of parents don't want to spend attention because they don't have time. They're working two jobs just trying to make a go of it. And the kids are stuck dealing by themselves a lot. Some of us are very lucky, like Caitlin. You have a mother there that can listen to you all the time. And I know she's a very loving mother. But a lot of kids don't have that. There's a lot of single-parent households. It makes it very difficult. And I don't think it's bad for us to be willing to step up and help fill in a little bit. You know, just because they're not our kids doesn't mean that we're not responsible a little bit. I know when I was a kid, if I got in trouble, I got home, my parents knew about it before I got there. Because somebody told them, either a friend of the family, somebody at school, somebody told them. Because everybody wanted the best out of you. Everybody wanted to make you better than what you were. I had an English teacher that just drove me nuts in high school. He was so hard all the time. And it was somebody I thought, he don't understand anything. But I got through it and got done with the course. And about 2 years after I was out of school, I ran into him one day at a car lot. I was working in a used car lot doing some work, and he came in and he wanted to buy a car from me. I told him, I'm not qualified to sell cars. That's not my job. Other people do that. Feeling that I wasn't important enough to be doing that because I didn't look very highly at myself at the time. He says, I'd buy a car from you. And he was very serious about it. It's those little things that help you bring up your own expectations of yourself. It's them things that help you to grow and to become more than you are. And I hope you all get something out of this because it's really important to me. And I think it's important to Spirit, or they wouldn't have pushed me in this direction to begin with. But I thank you for being here today, and I thank you for listening.